Today I want to do things just a little bit different. Most of what I have today will be the reading of God's Word. I can't express what the writers of the Scriptures have done, and so I felt the best way to introduce the message today would be to read it from the Scriptures. So I'm going to start with the Scripture taken from Luke chapter 23, verses 13-25. If you've got your Bible, you can follow. And we will follow the story of the Scriptures where Jesus comes before Pilate. Verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, You have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you have accused him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity we must release one unto them at this feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder, was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil has he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they all instant in a loud voice, requiring that the might of crucifixion and the voice of them and of the chief priests prevailed, and Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released them from him, and for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus into their will. As we read the Scripture, it's the beginning of the journey that Jesus took to the cross. And there's not much that we can really cover between. But what I want to take you to the verse of Scripture where we will find Jesus in another situation. I want to take you there to a totally different area altogether, back in Luke 2. Now, as we talk about this little story, Joseph and Mary and, of course, the family and friends had taken a journey back to Jerusalem for the Passover. And we've already learnt that the Passover is an important part to Jewish people. And so they'd taken this journey back to Jerusalem for that. After it was over, they took a journey back home again, or began a journey back home again. And after some time, they realised that their 12-year-old boy Jesus was not there. And they had to turn around and go back and search 3 days to find that 12-year-old boy. Now, a 12-year-old boy generally doesn't run away like that, especially in a situation like that, where there are other children. Anyhow, he runs away. And they searched 3 days before him. And where would they find him? But at the temple. And so when they come in, of course, Mary says, Why would you do this to us? Why would you do that to us? Treating him almost as a gentleman or a man or something that's just done something terrible. Why did you do this? And this is the answer that Jesus gave. You've heard it many times, but I want to impress on you just what it means. Why were you searching for me? He asked them. Didn't you know that it was necessary for me to be in my Father's house? My Father's house, a 12-year-old boy. How did he know that at this point of time being in the temple, was going to his father's house. You say, oh, Mary told him. I don't know whether she would have. You know the situation. And that was carefully protected. I don't think they would have. But Jesus knew, and even if he didn't know, and Mary told him, it was absolutely certain that suddenly this 12-year-old boy, Jesus, became very much aware of who he was, where he needed to go, and he spent 3 days communicating with these priests, sleeping there, staying there, and they were amazed at him and the questions he asked and what he taught. And I thought it was particularly interesting to note this, that Jesus began his journey back there in that temple a long time before, and he would have seemingly known what lay ahead. If he knew that God was his Father, then spiritually he had suddenly become aware of what may lay ahead for this young man. All right, we'll look at Jesus a little bit later now, and he becomes an adult, and he's about to enter into his ministry for the next 3 years. And moving along with the 3 years of ministry, we know the disciples came along and they went with him and they talked with him. And then one day, Jesus said to them, he told them that his journey was coming to an end. These people were going to kill him. No, and they thought, wait a minute, this is the Son of God. This is Jesus. He can strike them dead anyway. They're not going to take him away. But Jesus was very strong to say to them that my end is near, and he called them to this very supper that we've had today. To that last supper. And from that last supper, they moved out into the Garden of Gethsemane. And I'm going to read you the scripture again for that little part. When Jesus came with them to that called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, sit here while I go over there to pray. Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled, and he said to them, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here, stay awake with me. Going a little further, he fell down and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, and let not my will, but thine be done. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He asked Peter, so, couldn't you stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake and pray, he said, so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit was willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and he prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass, also I will drink, and your will be done. And he came again and he found them sleeping because they had not kept their eyes open. After leaving them, he went again. He prayed the third time the same prayer. And once more, then his disciples said to them, are you still sleeping? Are you resting? See, the time is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's go. Let's see. My betrayers are near. You know the words, and you've heard them many, many times before. If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. You know what Jesus was asking? Have you ever thought about what Jesus was asking at that point of time? If it's possible, Father, let this whole business pass away, and I'll walk away free. Jesus is asking that. Not once, not twice, but 3 times he searched his Father's willingness to prevent him from going to the cross. He knew that. He knew his time was short. But what Jesus says to the to the end of this prayer, nevertheless, thy will be done. He was prepared. But when you think back at what Jesus had taken, as Jesus had taken, it was taken by the temple soldiers who took him to Pilate for the trial. How does it feel to know that Jesus was willing to go to the cross? Knowing the pain, knowing what they would do, knowing the people now, for some reason, hated him, crying out to have him crucified in a loud voice. Think of it. How do the people consider that? He had walked around for 3 years, healing the sick, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, even raising the dead. And now suddenly the people have cried out, crucify him, put him on a cross. For a moment, let's go back to the Word of God, just for a moment, in Luke 23. And as they led him away, they saw Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him to carry behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed him, including women who were mourning and lamenting. He, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided his clothes and cast lots. The people stood and watched, and even the leaders were scoffing. He saved others, let him save himself, if this is God's messenger, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked. They came offering sour wine and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription above him said, this is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals hanging there behind, near him, said, you're insulting him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the others answered, rebuking him, don't you even fear God, since you are undergoing the same punishment? We are punished because we are justly punished because we're getting back what we deserve for the things that we did. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into the kingdom. He said to them, truly I am telling you today, you will be with me in paradise. It was now about noon, and darkness came on the whole of the land until till 3. Because the sun's light faded, the curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Saying this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God, saying, this man really was righteous. But the crowds that had gathered for this spectacle, when they saw that he hanging that he had taken place, went home, striking their chests. But all who knew him, including the women, followed him from Galilee, stood at a desk watching the things. Today is Good Friday, the day that we have remembered what Jesus did, the journey that he took to the cross. Why did he do that? You and I, for us today. So that we will open our hearts to let this wonderful Jesus and Savior take control in our lives, to prepare us to one day stand by the side of the kingdom, be sat inside the kingdom of God, washed in the blood of Jesus from Calvary. What if Jesus had not gone to the cross? What if he had turned to his Father on there before he went, while in the Garden of Eden, and he said, Father, before when this happened, before when it was all like this, you looked down from heaven, you saw the sin. What did God do? So I'm sorry I ever created man. I'm sorry that I've ever seen him in this situation. I'll get rid of them. I'll destroy them all. I wonder if Jesus thought about that. Get rid of them all. Start again. You see, Jesus was standing there with God the day that the flood began. And he could have started it all over again. Instead, he bowed his head. And he went to that cross to take our sins away. So that we one day, you and I, all of us here today, could be standing together in the presence of God, in the kingdom of God. Maybe we were sharing some of those places that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the greatest prayer that Jesus ever made. We're going to come and we're going to sing in just a few moments this wonderful hymn, if I can find it again. It was on my heritage. Beneath the cross of Jesus. But first, let us pray. Our loving Father, we give you thanks. What a plan. What a purpose that you gave to Jesus. Your Son, you loved this world so much that you allowed him to come and to go upon this cross that we have read about today, to suffer the shame, to suffer the mockery, and to suffer death and shed blood for us. How can we thank you? Father, we pray that you just open our hearts and cause us to feel and to know you better. Because one day you were 12 years of age and you walked that way right to the cross and died for us. Lord, we bless you today. We praise you today because you are our Father. You are our Savior, Father and God. Be with us now in closing as we sing this beautiful hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Amen.